Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. We take pride in treating every customer like family, because that's what has kept us around for generations.
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Subaru Outback for 1.9% for up to 72 months.
Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 9/30/25.
At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Hello. How are we all? How is your week going? I kind of feel as if we're starting to come out of winter. I don't know about you. Right, obviously I'm in the UK, so anybody else that's in the UK, can you feel a change in the weather? Although, still using a lot of blooming gas, still get my heating on all the time, and it's not good for the bank balance, you know. What have you all been up to? What have I done this last week? Our schools are off this week, which is a joke to consider my son's hardly at school. Our schools are off this week. They go back Thursday, although my son wouldn't technically go back to Friday. He doesn't get into school on a Thursday. Have I done anything else? Don't think so. Hold on to sex. As I'm saying about the heating and everything, I think I'm having a hot flush. I just had to take the zip down of my jumper. What else have I done this week? Absolutely nothing. Just working on the website. Oh, did anybody see, when was it? Monday. I was trying to catch up with all my socials on Monday because I've been kind of neglecting them a wee bit and I felt bad. So I decided to do a social media day where I kind of uploaded stuff onto all the socials. Now, anybody that knows I've got too many social pages. So obviously I've got TikTok, Instagram and Facebook, but what I do is I just record a video for TikTok, post it on there, then it downloads onto my phone and then I post it onto the others. But I've got this page, my therapy page, the new podcast that's coming up page, and the podcast I've got with Danielle's page. That still got neglected. I mean, that was only posted onto the other day anyway, so that's fine. I think I done the therapy page first. Then I done the new podcast, because I had to tell them when the new date is, because I changed the date for when that's coming out. See, by the time I got onto the page for this one, I was speechless. I had nothing to say. I was actually sick of the sound of my own voice, and I'm sure everybody else was as well. So I pressed record, and then I was like, what am I actually saying here? I don't know. I just don't know anymore. So today I'm having a wee chat with you about, I suppose, kind of less common or less known mental health conditions, and also less spoken about mental health conditions, which can also mean that some people don't realise that some of these conditions fall into the category of mental health. Should hopefully have some stats here somewhere. Listen, I've got about 25 million bits of paper in front of me with information and things to remind me of what I'm saying and what I'm talking about. And listen, Linda, I'm blonde. I tell you this every week. So why would someone not speak about their mental health if they feel as if their mental health is taking a dip? Well, obviously, fear of judgment. That's probably number one. the fear of the judgment, the fear of people not believing them or not being heard properly, people just kind of shrugging it off. Because like any illness, if you haven't gone through it yourself, you maybe don't completely understand it. You don't understand the sort of repercussions of it, how it can affect your day-to-day life, how does it affect you from minute to minute, hour to hour. So you've got that. Then there's also a stigma. A lot of people still think that, and this baffles me, because we're in 2025. This should be, by now, we should be more accepting of people and their different ailments and things that you don't maybe understand properly. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not real. So the stigma of it, people maybe still think it's mental health struggles are only for the weak. Let me tell you, it's definitely not only for the weak. Happen to anybody, doesn't matter what age you are, what gender you are, what your career path, how intelligent you are, how much money you've got in the bank. If mental health wants to come for you, it will come for you. Now, obviously, we say things like my mental health. There's two sides to mental health. There's a good and the bad. You can have, your mental health can be amazing, and other people may not. So everybody's got mental health the same as everybody's got physical health. It's just, do you have poor physical health? Do you have good physical health, or are you in between? Do you have poor mental health? Do you have good mental health, or are you somewhere in between? That's a way to look at it. So someone you and your family, one of your friends, whatever, might struggle with breathing because they've got asthma. If they're running for a bus, if they're going to run around playing football or whatever else, they may struggle breathing afterwards because they have asthma. You may not, because you don't have asthma. Somebody may struggle with their inner thoughts because they have poor mental health. You may not, because you may have good mental health. Comprendi? Comprendi. Thank you kindly. Without sounding patronising, you know, like, it's like the whole sexuality thing. I still can't get my head around the fact that people don't accept someone into their family and their lives or whatever because they maybe are attracted to the same sex. 2025, people, come on. Broaden your horizons, open your eyes a bit. Be kind, be mindful. My favourite two words. And then the lack of understanding, which again, that goes back to people judging, doesn't it? You judge something, typically, if you don't know. If you've not experienced it or you don't know much about it. You've maybe heard about something. Like, for example, you might say, I never want to go to whatever country. Why do you not want to go to that country? Doesn't look that great. I've not heard good stories about it. Or for another reason, whatever it may be. Doesn't look too great. Maybe the pictures weren't taken in a great location. Maybe the person that's told you about that country missed out the parts where they enjoyed themselves. Always judge on your own experience, shall I say. And if you've not experienced poor mental health, do not judge, because it might come back and bite you in the bum. And once you get into that, do you know, when you get into that negative cycle of saying something doesn't exist, or saying something's rubbish, or saying something's whatever, when you have no experience, and I'm not just talking about mental health, it can be about physical health, it can be about a job, it could be about a car, it could be about a holiday, it could be about a house, it could be anything at all. When you're in the mindset of brushing things off or saying a sort of negative comment automatically, then it doesn't matter your experience, you're always going to see things through negative eyes. And then you have to kind of reevaluate how you're looking at things. What's making you think negatively about everything? Is it because somebody's taught you to think that way, or is it just because the circle you keep? Is it because there's maybe something deep down that you need to deal with that you're ignoring? Because again, sometimes when you are brushing things off or ignoring things or saying something negative, it's because you don't want to face up to the fact that potentially somebody's talking about your experience or talking about you because you don't want to admit it. You don't want to be seen as, let's go back to the stigma side of it, somebody who's weak. Now again, I would reiterate, struggling with your mental health does not make you a weak person. Struggling with your mental health does not make you less of a person than anybody else. It just means that you're walking a different journey from somebody else. You maybe need to find a different route or take there's a few obstacles in your way. But it doesn't mean to say you can't have a good life. You 100% can have a good life. You 100% can live your best life. But you have to deal with what's going on inside your head. You have to be able to open up and talk to people and admit that you're struggling. And admitting that you're struggling, again, doesn't make you less of a person or make you weak. It just means that you might take a wee bit longer to get to the point where you want to go because you need to deal with this situation at this time. Obviously, I said earlier on that mental health, or poor mental health, should I say, doesn't just go for a certain gender or a certain age group or ethnicity. Sorry, couldn't get that word out. Tripping over my words again. It doesn't depend on your family background or your background, your wealth, or if you're poor, or if you're a working class person. The size of house you're in doesn't dictate whether you're going to struggle with your health, or physical or mental. So 77%, now a lot of these figures that I'm going to rhyme off today are primarily based on UK figures, but you can find your own figures if you just look kind of into your government website or your local health authority. If you want figures from where you are and you can't find them, let me know and I will help you out with that. So 77% of men polled have suffered with symptoms of common mental health conditions such as anxiety, stress or depression. 40% of men have never spoken to anyone about their mental health. Again, stigma. People think that men should be cavemen. Men should be men. Men should be strong. You can still be a man, you can still be strong. You can still be caveman pounding on your chest, even if you're struggling with your mental health or not. 29% of those say they're too embarrassed to speak about it, while 20% say there is a negative stigma on the issue. And that's sad. It's sad to think of that. We all know that women may find it easier to talk about things, but there's also women out there who are also struggling, especially like last week where we kind of touched on the subject of postnatal depression. A lot of women will be too scared to speak about that, and it's because they don't want to be seen as a bad mother. Postnatal depression does not make you a bad mother. It just means that you need a wee bit of help and support, some TLC, some reassurance that you're doing well. That's not a bad thing. We all need reassurance sometimes, whether it's in our personal life or work life or education, whatever it may be. We all need reassurance to know that we're doing right, we're doing things as we should be doing them. So it's no different because you're a mother. Give yourself a break. Be gentle with yourself. Stop thinking the worst about yourself just because your inner thoughts are maybe telling you that. This is the time to fight against them and say, no, actually, I'm doing a good job. And if we all came together, do you know, if we all came together and we all spoke about poor mental health or good mental health or indifferent mental health, and we spoke about it more openly, maybe people wouldn't struggle for as long as they do. Maybe people wouldn't struggle to the point where they want to take their own life, or they think so negatively about themselves that they're harming themselves, and they think that that's the only escape. We can save so many lives just by talking. We can save so many lives by being mindful in our words and be a bit more...
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Oh, what's the word I'm trying to say? Being a bit more empathetic towards people, sympathetic. And it's almost like putting an arm around somebody and saying, you're going to be okay. I'm here. We've got this. Because they don't have to do that journey themselves. You could do the journey together. I'm not saying you have to hold hands with the guy sitting next to you. But if your best friend, whether it be male or female, sadly lost a parent, a loved one, whatever it may be, would you shake their hand and say, I'm sorry, I'm here for you, or put your arm around them and say, I'm really sorry to hear that, or listen, you want anything, give me a shout. Of course you would. So why wouldn't you do it in this instance? Do you want your friend to be as healthy, whether it be physical or mentally, as healthy as they possibly can be, so that you can all have all these fun, great memories to look back on, whether it be holidays or nights out, or just sitting having a laugh on the phone, or playing the PlayStation or the Xbox or whatever it might be? Do you want that to continue? Again, if you do, be there for each other. Nobody's saying you have to sit with them 24/7 and listen to their every time they're feeling upset, you have to listen to every tale that's coming down, streaming down their face. Nobody's saying that. But help them get the help they need. Have you got a group of friends? Maybe there's 6 of yous. You could all rally together to help this one person who you know fine that if, God forbid, anything did happen to them, all of yous would say, I wish I'd done more. I wish I would have seen the signs. I wish. Now, you can't always see the signs, and I'm not looking to put too much pressure on friends and family and whatever else. I'm just saying that you don't even have to be the person they talk to, but you can be the person that encourages them to go and get the support and the help they need. You don't have to, because you might have issues that isn't affecting your mental health, but something that you are dealing with. So you might not have necessarily the time to sit with somebody who is struggling, but that doesn't mean to say you can't encourage them to speak to someone. Let them know that this isn't their fault, and they're not weak, and they're not a bad person, and they're not any different to the friend you had the day before just because you've found out they've got struggles. They're still the same person. You just want them to be a brighter version of what they are at the minute. Does that make sense? Don't come for me if you don't agree with me. Just please don't. A couple of the things that are commonly known about, but people might not realise, fall under the mental health category. Phobias. Now, we all laugh, we all joke. Listen, I've got my own phobias. I'm scared of mice, I'm scared of rats, and I'm scared of sheep. You all know this. We've spoke about this 10 million times. I am terrified and I sweat if I hear, see, speak about, drive past, walk past any of these things, right? And I don't mean the human rats. I mean the vermin ones. Well, let's not go too deep into that conversation. My son thinks it's hilarious to send me videos of mice and rats. And I now know when he sends me a video, like at the start of it, what it's going to be, so I just click it off. He kills himself laughing. That, listen, that's sons, that's boys for you. My phobia is not bad enough where, well, it probably would keep me up at night, but listen, we laugh about it. It doesn't affect my mental health. Yes, I'm scared of them, but I'm not scared of them to the extent that they're affecting my daily life. Except when my other son, my younger son, because we live quite near farms, quite a few farms, and a few of them have got sheep on them. And he'll say, "Mum, imagine that just walked down the hill and you woke up and it was looking in the window at you in the morning." And I'm like, "Why would you tell me that?" Why? And it's usually like in the evening he'll say it to me and I'm like, no playing this game with you. So, a phobia is an extreme or an irrational fear, such as a fear of heights or animals. My mum's scared of heights. My mum sweats. My mum, but again, we kind of, when we were younger, we used to laugh at her because she couldn't even go up one step. This is what I don't understand with my mum, right? So my mum can go up one step on a ladder. No, can only go up one step on a ladder. But she can go and visit somebody that stays one up in a block of flats. Hold on to things. Sorry, I could hear a noise in my kitchen. I thought, oh, don't tell me, mice and rats. I've heard them talking about them. They've came to get me, but my pot's overflowing. So phobias, it can be anything. I mean, we've heard about arachnophobia, we've heard of claustrophobia, all these different things. And yeah, sometimes we do laugh about phobias. But when it's somebody that's truly, really living with it, don't laugh about it, because it isn't a nice thing to live with, and it can affect every moment of their life. It can affect, again, them living a normal life, in inverted commas. So in England, 2 in 100 people experience phobias in any given week. That's a lot. That's a lot of people when you think about how many millions of people we've got kind of living round about us. OCD is another thing that we laugh about all the time. And we all say, oh my God, I think I've got OCD, because you do something twice. Listen, I say it. If I clean the bathroom, I'll be like, oh my God, I've got OCD. I've not got OCD. I've just cleaned my bathroom. So OCD is a condition where a person experiences obsessive thoughts and compulsive behaviours. So when you've got OCD, like say I've just said about me cleaning my bathroom, I might have set days where I clean my bathroom, I might just do it whenever I've got the time. Somebody who's got OCD, they have to. When they get the thought to clean their bathroom, they have to clean their bathroom. There's no, oh, I'll do it in 5 minutes. They have to do it there and then, and they have to do it in a certain way, and they have to make sure it's 100%, and all these different, and it's not just about cleaning, it can be anything. Again, you've heard about people that maybe turn the light switch on and off so many times to make sure it's off, people that lock their doors so many times, like, or go and check the door X amount of times before they can know it's 100% locked. It could be checking the dates in your food, like anything that's we would see as doing it maybe once in a blue moon or once every so often as normal behaviour. Somebody with OCD, they can't put something off. When they get that thought in their head to do something, they can't put it off for 5 minutes or put it off for a couple of days or wait till next week to go and do that. They have to do it there and then. Now this is quite a big number as well. So in England, 1 in 100 people experience OCD in any given week. Now, I'm actually surprised that there's half the amount of people with OCD than what there is with phobias, because OCD we hear about a lot, and it might just, obviously this depends on who's been questioned, who's took the survey, or areas they're based on and different things, but I'm surprised about the OCD being less than half the amount of people that have got phobias. But again, could just be that people aren't being 100% honest yet, or they haven't been diagnosed or whatever else. Psychotic episodes, obviously we do know that does fall under the mental health category. Schizophrenia and affective psychosis are the main type of psychotic disorders. Obviously, like anything else, there's a long list, and people will have different severities of it, and people will struggle with it in different ways, and their signs will show in different ways, and it's about knowing that person's signs and know what might trigger them. So if you're close to someone, you might be able to see their behaviour pattern changing, or maybe even just a look in their eyes, or if you can see that they're not sleeping the way they used to, or their sort of daily routines, if they've got a routine, maybe changes. Obviously this is somebody, if they've got a diagnosis of psychotic disorders, not even just that, but any kind of mental health ailment, mental health condition, then it's about looking for changes and keeping an eye, making sure they're taking their medication and they're eating properly, they're drinking properly, they're not drinking too much alcohol, they're not taking recreational drugs, etc. Also their sleep patterns, are their sleep patterns as they should be? In England, 0.7% of people experienced a psychotic episode in the past year. I think these are 2024's statistics, so that would have been from sort of 2023. And psychotic disorders are something that they can be life limiting to people. Again, it's something that people will judge. There's a stigma around about it, that if you're psychotic, you must be off your head and you must be this, that and the next thing. Somebody can live a relatively normal life and still be diagnosed with a psychotic disorder. Again, it's about managing the condition, and it's about them knowing, and the people round about them knowing, if there might be triggers, or keeping them away from certain situations, making sure that routines are kept up, making sure that as healthy as can be. So yes, and it's about communicating as well with health professionals, because health professionals, although everybody's different and they can guide and whatever else, but keeping up with your health professionals and making sure all your appointments are up to date, again, medication, make sure you're talking to them and you're being 100% honest with them about how you're feeling on the inside and the outside. So other mental health conditions. In England, 8 in 100 people experience mixed anxiety and depression. 6 in 100 experience generalised anxiety disorder, GAD for short, and 3 in 100 experience depression in any given week. Obviously we do know that depression is on the rise and we hear about it more, but I think that's partly because people are starting to opening up about it and people are starting to see that it is actually a condition. It's not just that you're feeling a wee bit sad, you're feeling a wee bit down or whatever. It is an actual condition. Now, don't get me wrong, you're not going to go to your doctor and say, I've been feeling quite myself the last week or two. And they're going to say, right, okay, you're depressed, you've got depression, we're going to stick you on these tablets. That's not how it works. And I've said this to you before in previous episodes. Depression is something that has to be a relatively long-standing time frame, as in months at least. It's not going to be that you've just been feeling a wee bit down 1 month, and it might be because you've got some money issues or whatever else, and then your doctor's going to say, right, okay, here, take these, you're going to be all better. Medication can help to an extent. They can help with your mood, etc., but the underlying issue has to be dealt with. And in order to deal with the underlying issue, you have to talk. Whether it be to a professional or whether it be to somebody you trust within your circle, you have to talk. If you don't speak about what's got you to this point when it comes to depression and anxiety, the issue will never be fixed, if you want to say it like that. We can't rectify things without knowing why. The whys, the wheres, the whats, the ifs, the whatevers. A bit like your doctor's not going to turn around and say, okay, you've got this health condition, just off the bat of you saying, I've got a wee bit of a sore tummy. They're not going to say, right, okay, I need to go and take your appendix out because you've got a sore stomach. There needs to.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
There'd be a lot more to it. And it's the same with depression or any kind of mental health condition. There needs to be a lot more to it. There needs to be a lot more investigating. There needs to be a lot more talking, trial and error, all these kind of things. So yes, that's maybe two pence worth. In England, 4 in 100 people experience post-traumatic stress disorder in any given week. Now, post-traumatic stress disorder, obviously, is probably more commonly known as PTSD. There is a large proportion of people, or a stigma, whatever, that people think only person that can have PTSD is somebody who's been to war. Somebody who's been in the armed forces and actually been in combat. Now this isn't true. There's also people that if somebody says, I've been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD, and they say, why? And you say, well, this is the situation that I went through and I've been left with trauma since this is a traumatic episode that I endured and I've been left with post-traumatic stress disorder. And people say, but you can't get that. You can't have that because you've not been to war. You've not seen people getting blown up. You've not seen this. You've not seen that. So, post-traumatic stress disorder, post obviously means after. So, like post-natal, post-traumatic. So, post-traumatic means after a traumatic event. Stress has left you stress. It's left you with that anxiety. It's left you with that condition. And disorder is just, because it's a disorder and it's not something that's contagious. It's not something you're going to catch off of somebody because you're standing next to them. It's a disorder. It's not a viral infection or a bacterial infection or a whatever infection. So there's many things. I mean, you can get post-traumatic stress disorder from any traumatic event, and it can be a car crash, it can be losing a loved one, it could be watching somebody getting hurt, injured, it can be from any experience that's left that negative impact on you. It's had a negative impact on your life so severe that you can't think about it, can't talk about it. It leaves you mentally, physically shaken, in a sense. It can do, not always, obviously everybody's different. You can be left with anger issues. There's a whole list. It can lead you to addiction, because some people may, if you put on, say it's been an injury and you're on very high dose of pain relief, you could end up addicted to that. You could end up addicted to drink, drugs, gambling. Listen, any mental health condition can take you down that road, but post-traumatic stress disorder is quite a common one where that can happen. Mental health conditions have been increasing since 1993, although depression has kind of not increased and not decreased. It's kind of stayed on a level since 2018 and 2019. Now, not to say it's always going to stay that way, and it could be again because of stigma. People aren't wanting to come forward and talk about it. Could be different to anything. But anxiety disorders have also increased in recent years. It's a shame that people don't talk as much as they should, or that we could get them to. I think a big part of it as well is employment. Everybody's got bills to pay, everybody's got mortgages, and we've all got rents, and we've got cars to pay for, and we've got children to pay for, and all this. And if somebody's in a good job and they rely on every single penny that's coming in, they may be too scared to say anything because they don't know how their work's going to react, whether they're going to react in a positive way, as in be helpful, or a negative way and say, it's your problem. Now, I'm not going to slander any companies or name any companies or anything like that, but I do know of some companies or some organisations or businesses or whatever who should know better but still treat their staff a bit like poo. But then there's going to be very many companies out there who are amazing when it comes to things like this and so supportive and so helpful. I worked for a company who on paper maybe looked as if they were helpful, but in reality they weren't, and it was like, well, what do you want us to do about it? Do you want us to keep paying you? Do you want us to this, that? And do you know what, sometimes it just opens your eyes and also lets you see that you would never treat somebody that way. So you then, so if you've gone through this, or you are going through this, and you know somebody else going through it, the two of you could be a shoulder for each other. Without putting too much of a burden on each other, the two of you can help each other. You can be there, or encourage each other to get help. If neither of you have gone for help, why don't the two of you phone up at the same time? Phone your doctors, and if you can get help on different days, you could be there for each other for the appointments, if that's a possibility. And if not, then just let each other know that, well, look, I'm going through it, so you're not the only person feeling that way. I mean, you might be going through it at different degrees, but that's okay. I'm sure you can still empathise or sympathise with each other. If you're going through your own journey just now and you've maybe not gone to speak to somebody yet, what's the reasoning for that? And that's not being patronising, that's me genuinely asking, what is the reason for you not going to ask for help or support? Or just ask the question, like, I don't understand what's going on inside my head. Can you help me with this? And if you don't know why you're not asking for help, or if you do know but you're afraid to admit it to anybody that you're close to, send me a message and we can figure out where's the best place for you to go for help. I've said this a million times. Yes, I work in the private industry. Yes, I only make money when I get clients booked in. But would I rather point somebody in the direction of free help because they can't afford to come to me to ensure they've got help? Of course I would. I want you to get whatever help is beneficial for you, whatever is the best for you, whatever works for you, that's what I want you to get. And you've got to remember that I'm maybe not qualified for everybody's condition either. There may be things that people come to me and I don't really know much about, so I would then signpost you in a different direction anyway. But please reach out, and if you're just reaching out to me to ask me to point you in the right direction, do it. Because I would rather that than something happen to you and you, or your condition getting 100 times worse before you reach out for the help and support. So let's all stick together. Let's all kind of be a community, if you want to say it like that, and help each other, point each other in the right direction. Because could you imagine walking down the street and just everybody smiling and happy and saying hi to each other? I'd love that. I mean, I'd be poor by that point because nobody's coming to me for their mental health conditions, but I'm sure I'll find something else to do that involves me talking a lot of rubbish. I don't talk rubbish to my clients, I just talk rubbish sometimes to my pals. So, in some of the research that I looked up, it says, who's at risk of developing a mental health disorder? This was one of the questions in this person's package. Where did I find this? I found this on, I don't even know, actually, it doesn't tell me on here. At any one time, a diverse set of individual, family, community and structural factors may combine to protect or undermine mental health. Although most people are resilient, people who are exposed to adverse circumstances, including poverty, violence, disability and inequality, are at higher risk. Now, at higher risk doesn't mean they're the only people at risk. It just means there might be a higher percentage of people in this area than anywhere else. Protective and risk factors include individual psychological and biological factors, such as emotional skills as well as genetics. Many of the risk protective factors are influenced through changes in brain structure and or function. Now, this will only, what I've just read out will actually only be in certain situations. So if you think about people who, and maybe, let me think of the word, people with addiction. And it can be alcohol, drugs, gambling. Now, a lot of addiction comes from a stressful background or something that you're not dealing with. And when you think about a lot of people that you hear about with stress, can have high power jobs or maybe business owners and are struggling. So if you're a business owner and you're stressed and you're struggling, you need to look at it from two angles. So you need to look at it from a personal angle. How can you personally take an offload from yourself? And then business angle as well. How can you dispense jobs out that you're struggling with, or that you're maybe looking at it with blinkers on? So who can you get to look at it with fresh eyes? There will be people out there to help you. There will be people out there to support you. But it's about you admitting that you need that help. Because a lot of people in business, you can sail through business sometimes, and then other times, it's honestly, it can be the hardest job going. Because if you're employed, let's use myself for example, I'm classed as sole trader stroke self-employed because I am a one-man band, work for myself, don't have any employees. I can still be a sole trader and still have employees, but personally I don't have any employees at the minute. If I don't bring any money in that week, there's no wages. There's no wages that week. Whereas if you are an employee and your employer doesn't bring any money in, they still have to pay you a wage. Does that make sense? So that can be a lot of stress for an employer, somebody in business who they're maybe not bringing in this year as much as they did previous years. And then they've got to think, right, how do we fix this? How do we rectify this? How do we either generate more money, or do we have to look at how many employees we have? Do we have to look at hours, how many hours everybody's working? How many they're contracted for? Do we need to change that? Or sometimes it's speculate to accumulate and you might need to bring somebody else in to look at what's going on in the business, how can you fix it? And sometimes it can be quite an easy tweak, other times it's going to be a bit harder. So although that says that people in poverty and different things like that, and it's not always the case. And business is hard, let me tell you. Anybody that's in business will tell you it is hard. Especially initially. Because it's not like your big supermarkets where your brand or your name is already out there. You're brand new. You're day dot. You're not even known. You need to find a way of, how can people find me? How do people know about me? How do I get out there? And if it doesn't happen quick enough, and it's some people be like, what am I doing wrong? And it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's just everything takes time. Every single thing takes time. I am at like almost 50 minutes here, and I've still got quite a bit to talk about. So I think what I'm going to do is do a part two next week, because I don't want to completely bombard you with facts and figures this week, only one episode. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do part two next week. Because also it can be a lot to take too much information in at the one time as well. And you might want to go and check on things or look into things before you make a decision. So, yeah. If there's anything that I've not spoken about or touched on, like whether it be a condition or whether it be to do with how to get help, where to get help, or how long can it go on for? These are all questions that will go through everybody's heads. And if there's anything that you want me to answer, if you write into me this week, between today and next Tuesday or Wednesday morning, I normally record a Wednesday afternoon, but sometimes I'll do it on a Tuesday. But if I don't get it in time, I can either put it into another episode or I can just answer it on the socials. Obviously, your details will all be confidential. Your name, nothing will go out there. But yeah, we'll make a part two. Like I said, don't want to give you too much information overload. I'm sure there's a song in there somewhere, but some people are sick of me singing, i.e. my sons. And plus, I couldn't think of a song. Does anybody remember New Kids on the Block from way back? I don't mean New Kids on the Block as in they are now, I mean back then. The reason I'm asking that, right, is because as I was saying that to you, that song, Hang Tough, Hang Tough, came into my head. Don't ask me why, I don't know. But what I was going to say was, I remember them back in the day when they first came out, and I was in love with Donnie Wahlberg. Obviously then his brother came out, Mark, who was Marky Mark, later on. I was in love with Donnie. My cousin, I'm sure, was in love or obsessed with Jordan. And I think really we were the only two that really were into New Kids in the Block. One of my other cousins kind of liked them, but wasn't pure into them like we were. But I was watching, how did I see it actually? I think it was on TikTok, a video, and it was Donnie dancing. He was like twerking and things like that. And I thought, I still love you. 30 years later and I'm still in love with the same person. Never met him in my life, but I thought I could love you forever. Forever in a day. That's Ailey's OCD trait. Falling in love with people and not getting over it. He's I think, do you ever wonder if, because obviously we build up an image in our head of what, whether it be a pop star or an actor, actress, comedian, somebody on socials, your neighbour next door, whoever it might be, somebody you don't actually really know personally, but you maybe see them on the telly, you see them on social media, you see them out and about, and you've got an idea in your head what type of person they're like. Do you ever wonder if they're really like that? I'm thinking that now about Donnie Wahlberg. I think he's amazing. I think he's the best guy on the planet. I'm kidding, not. I'm kidding. No, but yeah, it's funny, isn't it? And then how devastated are you when you hear that they're not really like the nice person you've built up in their head? Because obviously we do hear stories, good and bad, of celebrities, and when it's somebody you like and you hear like a horrendous story about them, you're like, do you defend them and say, that's not what they're really like, I know they're not like that, or do you go, oh my god, I can't believe they're like that? Because unless you witness it for yourself, is it really true? And I don't mean about people doing anything illegal. I just mean like charging somebody £5,000 for an autograph. People that think they're famous, aren't they really famous? What do you class as famous though? Do you just class anybody that's been on the telly or whatever famous, or do you class somebody who's got an actual talent, i.e. actor, actress, singer, comedian, athlete, things like that? Do you class them as famous, or do you class somebody like, I'm scared to say it in case I get some backlash, but people on things like Love Island that apparently go on to find love. I'm sorry, I'm not we listen and we don't judge. I'm sorry, I'm not judging you at all, but because you do you. Listen, whatever gets you into the industry you want to get into, you do it, as long as it's legal. Don't be doing anything illegal, please. I'm not encouraging any illegal acts. I'm only encouraging kindness and mindfulness. But do you class them as famous or do you not? So like, there's people that have been on reality programs before and they think they're the top dog and they want to be charging people an absolute fortune to get their photo took with them or to get their autograph. But in reality, what have you done to be famous apart from argue with somebody on the telly? Do you know what I mean? And again, I'm not judging. Listen, you make that money how you make that money, but I just think it's a bit shitty, shitty, bang, bang. Sorry about my language there. But yes, that's Aileen's two pence worth. What's happening this week? Well, I don't know. My brain is all over the place at the minute. I have my business podcast coming out. So if any of you haven't seen the socials, it's coming out on the 3rd of, I was going to say November there, that's miles, that's ages away. 3rd of March, Monday the 3rd of March at 7 a.m. and then it'll come out every Monday after that. Anybody's wondering, why is she starting up a business podcast? Well, I didn't know what to put business and mental health and everyday life all in the one podcast. Obviously, I offer counselling, life coaching, business coaching, wellness coaching, and I just think it's a bit much ought to be in the one podcast. I've worked in business for 17 years, so I've had a lot of experience doing business coaching offering business coaching for a wee while now. And I just thought, why not? Why not? Listen, next stop, Dragon's Den. I'm going to be on that Dragon's Den as a dragon. Listen, I'd be an absolute pussycat. I couldn't be a dragon. I couldn't breathe fire. I'd be like, oh, take my money. I'll help everybody. I will help everybody get to where you want to be, but I swear, if you try and pull one over my eyes, I'm coming for you. I'm joking. It depends what time of the month you get me. I might not. I might be really nice. See, if you get me at the right time of the month, I'll be really nice to you. If you get me at the wrong time of the month, I'm just saying sorry now. Typical female. Listen, I at least I admit it. There's a lot of females out there who could run, they're really nice all the time. And that's just not possible for anybody who's menstruating. It's funny how all these words have got the word men in them, isn't it? Menstruating, premenstrual, menopause. Trying the men put a hex on us. Trying to put a... got their wand out and... well, they did get their wand out, but... oh, this is going down the wrong road, isn't it? Here we go again. Ian can only be serious for so long, and then the brain stops braining and she just behaves like a 15-year-old. She can't be serious. Listen, it's that time of day. I'm currently recording at 24 in the afternoon. Well, finishing recording at 24 in the afternoon, which is the time at the minute. It's 3:41 PM. Aileen has had a very busy day and her day is not finished. Because when I come off of this, I need to edit. I think I've got phone calls to do. I've got packages to make up, as in for work. I don't mean like put things in boxes. I mean, oh, I'm not even going to explain it. My brain can't explain that much. I've got a website to work on. I've got dinner to finish making, but I think it might be burnt by now. I think it might be stuck to the bottom of the pot. And then I've got a podcast to get organised for recording tomorrow. Recording Gossip with Girls tomorrow with Danielle. Gossip with Girls, that's not even what it's called. Gossip with Friends. See, that's how much my brain isn't working. There's words just coming out of my mouth and I don't even mean them. So, I need to be a bit more social on my socials. I'm going to try and be a bit better on them. I'm neglecting them a wee bit. So, I would ask you very kindly, if you are on TikTok, Facebook or Instagram, if you could please give me a follow, Reboot Your Thoughts podcast, or if you're interested in business, Reboot Your Business podcast. Therapy page is The Reboot Sanctuary. And then I've got the podcast with Danielle, Gossip with Friends podcast. That one really isn't serious at all. That one just, that's chaos. That's when you get a glimpse into relaxed dealing, we'll put it like that. And yes, I think so. Yeah, getting the website's still working. And I think now I had to explain this on my socials the other day, because I said about how I was working on my website, blah blah blah, and I think I made out that the website had been taken down while I was working on it. The website's still up and running, so it's therebootsanctuary.com. It's just that there's some stuff getting worked on in the background of it, but you can still see everything else at the minute. Just the things I'm working on, you can't see them yet, but they'll be ready to go soon. It's more just about information to do with coaching and things like that, dates, and I don't even know anymore. I'm lost. I don't even know what part's getting worked on and what isn't at the minute. So yes, I am rabbiting as usual. So I am going to go try and unstick the dinner for the bottom of the pot. Hope I can salvage something for my boys to actually eat tonight without them moaning at me and saying, Natty's burnt. I hope you all have a fantastic week. Again, if you would like to book in or ask any information, send us a message on the feed for the podcast. There should be a link to the website, maybe. I I don't know, Linktree. If you go on to rss.com, there should be, I don't know. But if not, just go on to my socials, or you can email me, either rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com or therebootsanctuary@gmail.com. And yeah, I will get back to you as soon as possible. If I'm not busy, I answer straight away. If I'm busy, I answer at some point that day. I never leave you hanging. Heck tough. Heck tough. I don't even know the rest of that song. I don't even know the last time I listened to Bloomin' New Kids on the Block, and I'm wanting to be talking about Donny Wahlberg and singing Hang Tough. Jesus. Right, I'm away. I'm talking a lot of nonsense. I will see yous, speak to yous, hear from yous, maybe at some point in this lifetime. But if I don't hear from you, you will hear from me next week. I hope you enjoy the episode. Part 2 is coming, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.